God loves a terrier. Yes, he does.
The dog-loving eyes of the nation were focused on the country's best-groomed candidates as they jockeyed for votes and the title of top dog in the United States. Last night, Siba, the standard poodle, was awarded Best in Show at the 144th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. Joining us now to discuss the winners, the losers, and all things Westminster is Sarah Montague, the Takeaway's resident Westminster reporter. Sarah, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the Best in Show this year. What made Siba a winner in the eyes of the all-powerful judge?
Well, I'm going to defer to the Best in Show judge, Robert Slay. Here he is talking about why he chose Siba.
Well, I mean, how could I deny that poodle? She's so exquisite. She is absolutely elegant, and she has an air of distinction that is to be recognized.
So was Siba sort of like the, the backroom favorite? Were odds on Siba to win this year?
You would not want to be a betting person in this race, let me tell you, because all the dogs are extraordinary examples of their breeds. The Havanese is actually the top dog in the country on points, but this doesn't really matter because what the judge is looking for is the best dog on the day. He's been sequestered, he has no idea what he's going to see, and he comes in and just waits for one dog to say, "Tonight, it's me." And last night it was Siba. Now, Siba's owner, Connie Unger, is worried that she's not going to enjoy retirement.
I mean, she's retiring now, so I will miss her silhouette and that lovely little bow. Now, she does a curtsy before she goes into the ring or into competition. I mean, it makes your goosebumps because it's just so absolutely thrilling. And she's just so happy in the ring. I'm worried that when she retires, you know, we're going to have to pretend show.
Wait, did you say the judge is sequestered?
Yes.
Okay, what is this, what's that about?
Well, it's about fairness because these dogs campaign all year long. So you don't want the judge coming in saying, "Oh, that's my old chum Charlie there." He has to come in with a fresh eye. The group judges have pushed these seven dogs forward. He doesn't need to know who they are until the moment he looks at them. And then he's waiting for that fresh eye.
I should note for purposes of full disclosure that you served, Sarah, as my personal advisor to my family during our quest for a dog for our home, for Momo. I'm guessing there were no pit mixes at Westminster this year, correct?
There weren't. The nice thing about that is dogs like Momo, pit mixes, get their opportunity in the other competitions that happen preceding Westminster, which are the agility and obedience trials that happen the weekend just before the show. Any kind of dog of any stripe, nature, genetic makeup can do that as long as they're happy and like to leap over things, or they're obedient and like to be attentive to their owners. So there is a side of this that welcomes all dogs of all types.
So, I mean, is there a competition for, like, best at chewing up owner's shoes, that kind of a thing?
That would probably have a very big entry, and they haven't gotten there yet.
Is it possible to not have a lot of money and still have a dog that can compete in the show?
Absolutely. The chances are that you're not going to be the winner unless you have a pretty big team behind you. Many of the top dogs are actually owned by syndicates, rather like racehorses, or by people who are moneyed. But again, the sport itself is really absorbing all kinds of people. And there are over 3,000 dogs who come here every weekend in February to do this from every conceivable economic stripe. So one of the interesting things about this, of course, is the way in which these dogs come here, and they are this generation's new Americans. A good example is the Tibetan Mastiff. If you go on, you know, YouTube or the internet, what you'll see is world's most expensive dog, really ferocious dog. Mm. And in fact, when they come here, they become something else. Mm. Here is Michael Brantley, who handled the Tibetan Mastiff called Clifford, Big Red Dog, who won his breed, and he's a wonderful spokesperson for this breed.
The Tibetan Mastiff is a very ancient breed, very independent. They think for themselves, they don't behave when you ask them to, which is kind of fun. Over in Asia, they are bred to be protection dogs, while over here, our society dictates that they not be that way.
I mean, I've never been to Westminster, and yet, as a dog lover, when I see a dog like Siba, who is, you know, meticulously sculpted, I do feel a little sad for them. And are there people like me in the world of dog shows?
I think what happens there is they wind up with breeds where less decoration is required. So there are over 200 accredited breeds who compete every year. And they range from the 3-pound Affenpinscher, who is basically meant to look like your hair, to
your specific hair,
you know, kind of rough and natural. To poodles who are meant to look like Versailles and everything in between. So what's recognized is each individual breed is meant to have a traditional look. Now, poodles are actually also working dogs. I was raised by standard poodles. My grandmother did not show, so she kept all her poodles in puppy clips, which are basically not the topiary, and they were just fine. But these are performances. These are like actors. You meet an actor on the street in New York, and we do all the time. They're in their sweats, and they've got their kids.
Yeah.
You meet them when they're on their way to The View. They're in little tiny heels and 4 inches of makeup and false. That's what it is. One of the reasons dogs do well here is they love to show. They really are performers. You get a dog who doesn't love to show, you know it. They flop down. Their tails go down. They are really not happy campers. And it takes handlers. It's expensive. It takes handlers who not long to say, this dog is not for this. The ones who are just adore it. They suck up the crowd. The roar at the garden is unbelievable. Imagine kind of hockey crossed with Rocky, and you'd get the level of sound in there where people scream. These dogs adore this. But then she goes home and she gets to be basically a house pet. And that's a good mental balance, as it would be for us, and that's why they do well.
This year, a new breed, the Azua, was introduced into competition. Tell me what's interesting about this breed compared to other breeds.
I've actually got a wonderful piece of tape, again, that I will step aside for. This is Aaliyah Taylor. She's the woman who presented the Azua to the Westminster Kennel Club press show. She was not showing herself, but she's a kind of spokesperson for the breed, and here's what she had to say. And then you'll hear right after that the handler of the very first champion in this category. Mm.
The Azua is special to me because they embody Africa. They embody the wildness. The dog is pretty much standoffish.
It's not a breed for everybody because they are more cat-like. You know, they like affection, but it's on their terms.
This dog has been known to run down cheetah, which is the fastest mammal in the world. They don't, of course, hunt them. It just can happen in nature. In the desert communities where they live, one of the reasons they have started coming in here, and they've been established for a while, breed recognition takes some time, is that the countries they come from are devastated. If you look at something like Relief Web Inc., you get escalating violence and insecurity have sparked an unprecedented humanitarian crisis in parts of Burkina Faso, Mali, and western Niger. That is the Azawa's home territory, and it had to change its nature at home. So it comes here, and as with many dogs, for instance, the Tibetan Mastiff, they get to come here and be new Americans, just like us.
So these are not just fancy dogs. They in some ways connect us to the rest of the world and whatever's happening in the rest of the world.
Exactly.
I've been talking to the Takeaways resident Westminster Dog Show reporter, Sarah Montague. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And hey, we've been seeing your Westminster rejects on our Twitter feed at The Takeaway. Show off your best or worst in show to our staff and your fellow listeners and tell us why they should win.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.